Good evening and welcome to the Buck Stops Here. The secrecy around the new education policy drafted by a committee headed by the former Cabinet Secretary T.S.R. Subramaniam is finally over. Now that it's been released without the ministry doing so, Smriti Irani has opened it up to suggestions from the public at large, all of us. But what about it was so problematic that it wasn't made public in the first place? The suggestions include several aspects the HRD minister has already spoken in favour of, restricting political activity on university campuses and revisiting admissions of students who've been enrolled for several years, for example. But the panel and the minister have some differences on issues like the three-language formula for schools, and interestingly, the minister's use of the word tolerance instead of acceptance for Indian diversity as something to be taught to children. Will this new policy be implemented? Will its recommendations solve a major educational crisis in the country? Or will they again become the subject of a greater political battle?
Can these pictures be a thing of the past? A government-appointed panel looking at changing the education system hopes to overhaul the exam system that goes beyond judging students based only on the results of board exams. It also suggests that class 10 board exams in maths and science should be in two levels, where students have the option to choose between a basic and higher level depending on the stream they want to pursue after school.
It doesn't force a student to give too much attention to maths and science if they've made up their minds that that's not what they want to pursue in the future.
In the moment, I would think that it's a good option. You know, I'll take the easier maths paper. But then later, I'd struggle with if I wanted to change streams, if I wanted to go to science.
The committee headed by former Cabinet Secretary T.S.R. Subramaniam also suggests politics on campus should be curbed. Caste and religious-based groups on campus should be de-recognized, and the number of years students spend on campus should be limited.
Organizations which are fighting against caste and communalism, they should not be targeted, which was clearly visible in the case of University of Hyderabad.
The report also suggests a no detention policy till class 5 and a new legislation for regulating higher education. But this is where it's likely to be contentious, as it doesn't agree with the government's three-language formula and also insists on using the word acceptance of Indian diversity in place of tolerance that was used by the ministry.
It talks a lot about exam reform, which is crucial. We haven't had enough of exam reform. But I think when they start talking the nitty-gritties of learning, for instance, I think they're using a regressive language, especially with reference to the no detention policy. Because if learning is child-centered and it's allowing children to think for themselves, then you don't automatically label children as slow learners or weak.
The Union HRD Ministry will be consulting all states before it can come up with a national education policy, something that was last done more than three decades ago. In New Delhi with cameraperson Shalik Ram, Keith Kiangre for NDTV.
Well, joining us in the studio to talk about his panel's recommendations is the former Cabinet Secretary T.S.R. Subramaniam. Sir, thanks very much for being in the studio. I think the first question, and I'm sure you've been asked this plenty, is really why did its becoming public become such a matter of controversy? I mean, why did it have to come to this?
Actually, it's known issue. I think probably more attention has been given to this aspect than required. Essentially, this is not a secret document. This is an open exercise from the ministry side, from the assignment to the committee. In fact, don't forget that the Honorable Minister started the entire exercise last year with a huge public consultation all over India, which tremendous results of reaching out to the people. That was the material given to us. We met about 500, 600 experts also, spent half an hour nearly with each.
Right.
And therefore, there's nothing confidential or secret about it. I think now that the report is public, the real issue is what the recommendations are. You talked of crisis.
Right.
It's important whether it will be solved or not. It is important. It must be solved.
Right. Before we get to that, just as a follow-up, a very, very quick follow-up to this, you know, while you say it's a non-issue and maybe it's been blown out of proportion and let's shift focus right now, the fact is that you did say that if the ministry did not make it public, you would do it yourselves. And secondly, Smriti Irani has in May also talked about how she doesn't want this new education policy to be the legacy of one individual. Do you think that was a comment at you?
This is water off a duck's back. I'm not bothered about it. Hmm. It's not important now. For me, what is important is the country needs a new policy. The ministry is determined to give a policy. We have given raw material which needs to be converted. For me, I'm not at all worried about that. The key point is 30% of the population is in daily touch with the education sector in its daily activities. It is too important for a subject to be settled in one room or in one building. It is a national issue, and hopefully we will get good answers now. I have now treated
so
that.
So it's not personal between you and the minister. Sure, that's how it seems to have
great,
come across.
I have great admiration for the minister. She started the process, and the credit should go to, if it's successful. In fact, now she will be tested whether she brings out a new good policy or not, and that's the key issue, rather than the past.
So coming to the policy itself, there are areas of divergence. In fact, one of the most interesting things that that has emerged since this report, since your recommendations were made public, was this use of the language, you know, the word of tolerance, where you say it should be acceptance. That speaks of a mindset of some kind. Why did you pick up on that?
You spoke of why we wanted it in public space. The 3 points mentioned are not correct factually. They're not issues at all, either with me or with the ministry. Firstly, the issue of the word tolerance. I don't think the minister, I don't recall she spoke. We said the first draft that we prepared within the committee used the word tolerance. As we went along, we saw how diverse India was, how it is important to everybody to work together. We upgraded it to acceptance. It has nothing to do with the minister, number one. I want to clarify it. It is no. The second.
But why would a word like tolerance be used in the first place then?
After all, a draft evolves there.
Right.
So somebody had said that we should accept everything with great tolerance. This was the thought, which is not a bad thought.
Right.
We upgraded that thought to acceptance. I think it has been wrongly portrayed.
Okay.
It's not an issue. The other is a 3-language issue. Look, I don't think ministry or the minister or I or anybody else has given a verdict on the 3-language formula. The 3-language formula has been here since 1968. Partly it is done, partly it is followed, partly it is not followed, and therefore it is a kind of an ideal which has not been done, and therefore it is wrong to say that we think it is correct, it is not correct, etc.
Okay.
So this is too sensitive a matter to come to a kind of Boolean conclusion, hit or miss, 0 or 1. It is.
Well, in that you've also made a suggestion that if Sanskrit is to be included, it should be done in a way that focuses less on the grammar than the use of the language. I mean, these are legitimate.
Not only Sanskrit.
All any
language coaching. Historically has been based on grammar, etc. Even after 3 to 5 years, a child is not very, very happy. So we should now have, we are not saying exclusively exclude grammar. We say conversational teaching of all languages, not just Sanskrit, whichever language is taught, should be the, there are no new systems in all over the world in teaching languages. In India, we are not adopting them. Idea was to bring them to India to make, because the child can learn very fast with applications. Go to applications rather than the grammar.
Right, sir. So coming back to the recommendations, grammar, applications, spoken language as opposed to written or learnt language through textbooks. These are valid suggestions, and I think any educational reform policy would look at issues like this. We have a greater crisis in the country. We have a situation where we saw in Bihar, you had toppers of the exams. The subjects that they've topped in, they don't have subject area knowledge. We have a situation where we boast internationally about our young population with high degrees, high qualifications, but no jobs. So one aspect is that this policy is geared towards finding employment. That's a target that this government
it is a national imperative need.
But here you need to first create primary education systems that are going to. Your own report talks about 4 out of 10 class 1 children who've dropped out before finishing class 7, and the gross enrollment ratio for higher education is 23.6%. That's extremely low.
No, not the last one. See, look, I think we should have a discussion. The spirit of this policy has been, we had excellent policies in 86. Before that, 68.
Yeah.
But hardly any of it has been implemented in the last 65 years. That's the starting point. We now come with, actually, the picture is much grimmer than most Indians
Well, that's evident in instances like we saw.
It is only not there. We look at figure after figure.
Hmm.
You look at Assaf's report, you look at NCERT report, Gunotsav report. So this is the starting point for us. We say, therefore, the focus of this policy, the earlier policy brought literacy from 12% to 74%. Earlier, RTE has brought it nearly 100% enrollment,
yeah,
with huge dropout. Therefore, the new focus we have is twofold.
Hmm.
One, quality, right through. In fact, in higher education, we have said that a ruthless way of weeding out degree shops should be done. And we talked about chapter and verse.
Yeah.
The other key thread in that entire report is, legally, inclusion is there. Legally, everybody is there. But in actual fact,
yeah,
it is, the system is heavily loaded.
Okay. We don't have a lot of time. So I want to ask you two very important questions that come to my mind. The one is, you know, we're talking about changing education policy. We're talking about reform in the education system. And yet there have been budget cuts as far as education is concerned. What does your panel say? And is the government open to revising that policy of
that
budget cuts?
That government has to answer. Something like EU, which is much higher education level average than in India, and with much higher per capita income than India, most countries do 6.5% to 7% of the GDP. We are doing 3.5% to 4% of GDP. So a country which is educationally much weaker, with a large number of...
is doing less.
And we are doing half of that. So the point is imperative. In other words, previous governments in 70 years have not understood that this is a national building task.
Right.
It is not a question of educating A or B. The nation has to be educated.
Also, sir, and I think that's where we're going to take off to our debate as well tonight. I mean, you know, you've talked about restricting political activity on higher education campuses, universities, enrollment of students, caste and religious-based organizations on campuses. There is another view that says campuses, university, higher education campuses that are teaching social sciences and liberal arts particularly, are spaces for various political views, various thoughts, and that's where most of the world's political leaders have emerged from, is from a strong campus politics space. Why is your panel talking about restricting this?
I would like you to read the pages rather than take a summary.
Yeah.
We have not given any recipe or solutions.
Hmm.
We have made a general statement. There is the vast majority of students, we assume 80 to 90%, who invest 2 to 3 to 5 years of their lives, their whole life earnings, families, etc. Their priority is to learn, use that time in their own career.
Mm.
On the other, Article 19 demands that freedom of association, freedom of ideas should be encouraged.
Right.
Today, the entire publicity, we are not worrying whether half year is lost, 3 months of lost examination are postponed, which means it affects crores of people all over. All we have now suggested is there should be a debate in the country where the silent majority student and their parents are also consulted, along with the vocal political and other interests. Secondly, the university is a temple of learning. It should not be exclusively be a cockpit for different social problems, etc., though they get reflected there. The primary purpose of the university is education. So all we are now saying is, legally, we have taken the opinion that Article 19 will permit of restrictions legally. All we have said is there should be a balance the two factors, a national debate. Like in US, for example, this election year, have you ever heard even Gore versus Bush period, the most contentious election, 1 hour of exams, 1 hour of university time lost anywhere in US? I lost 1.5 years in my career.
Hmm.
And therefore, we have to balance the two interests. That's what we are saying. We are not saying do this or do that.
But that balance is a very tricky situation. In the political climate we're in right now,
political decision is tricky.
Yeah.
And the whole art of balancing is to ensure that the difficult solutions are solved in a manner which everybody is happy with.
And in a manner which I think the message that we'd like to leave on is that it doesn't get politicized. After all,
exactly,
the aspect of politics on campus itself should not get politicized beyond a point. And I think that's the challenge really for people like you as well. Thank you so much, Nisar Subramanian, for joining us on the show tonight. Well, we also have with us now to take this debate further, Yogendra Yadav and Rakesh Sinha, joining us on two sides of this education policy. Yogendra Yadav, let me open open this by asking you, you've just heard TSR Subramaniam speak as well, on this balance that needs to be maintained as far as higher education and campus politics and campus education really is concerned. Do you agree that there needs to be a balance between politics on campus and politicizing a campus?
Of course, who can disagree with this? But let me begin by saying that this report should not be judged merely by what it says on student and politics, something I happen to disagree with. Otherwise, it's a sensible report. It's a serious report. Mm-hmm. It's a report that ought to be debated. And above all, it's a report that does not follow some of the lunacy, some of the very sectarian views that have been propagated by this government and many of the BJP governments in different parts. So it's a welcome document in that sense. Having said that, let me say why I completely disagree with what this report says on student politics and youth politics. Above all, because the report is based on a completely wrong assumption. The assumption is that there is too much politics on the campus, there are too many hartal, dharna, examinations being postponed and too much of it. The simple fact is actually our country has too little of it. Why do I say so? Because over the last 20-25 years, unions have been curbed, elections have been stopped all over the country. In fact, there are very exceptional places where elections are held now. And they happen to be one of the better places in the country.
Okay.
So we have let little of it, and we need much more of it. We need more of healthy politics in our campuses.
Okay, I'm going to come back to the issue of campus politics, but on the larger issue, as you pointed out, there are some extremely sensible proposals, even though we don't know how they will go. Rakesh Sinha, come in on some of these proposals, because you know a lot of them are open to interpretation. This three language formula, for example, that we've been talking about, TSR Subramaniam says there is no issue of having Sanskrit in schools, or German or French or a regional language as the school may decide. But that seems to become a bone of contention, really, as far as the center is concerned. The minister has already said that foreign languages should be eliminated in this way, that there should be Sanskrit, which is not a spoken language really in this country anymore. So the value of teaching it, if you're looking at jobs and education as the target for a new education policy, where does that fit in?
Nobody is against any foreign language. The only thing that we are emphasizing the Indian languages. And there is a great suppression of the Indian languages in the past. That's why the students who are coming through the Indian languages, they feel second rate students and at a higher education. They have equal opportunity but not equal chance due to the languages. So I think the social philosophy of this government is emphasizing the importance of Indian languages and giving the students both equal opportunity and equal chances. Secondly, the importance of Sanskrit all over the world, including NASA, acknowledging the importance of Sanskrit. Only a few intellectuals in the country, pseudo-intellectuals in the country, they connect Sanskrit with Brahminical language. They say Sanskrit is a retrograde language.
Okay.
But this government, we are not defensive. Sanskrit, the due importance to Sanskrit should be given. Next one, most important thing is that, as far as the election is concerned, there are only 6 to 7 states in India where elections are taking place in the universities. I am surprised. Mr. Jadhav is saying that many places elections are banned. He had been integral part of the UPA government. He had been at least 24 committees of UPA government, including the RTI, Advisory Committee on Right to Education, the part of the 11th Planning Commission and 12th Planning Commission's various committees. And no effort had been made then to create a democratic situation in other parts of the country. I'm giving one example. In Maharashtra, there was a Congress government, but there is no election in the student union election.
Okay.
This government is restoring the election in the universities.
All right.
So I have some complaint with the pseudo-intellectuals. They are criticizing that government is creating a bad situation in the country. There is no bad situation.
Okay,
all and
right.
I support the democratic
all right,
election,
Rakesh,
democratic
I get
activity
your,
in the campuses.
I get your point. Let's get Yogendra Yadav to respond quickly. We have to go across to Hyderabad as well. Yogendra Yadav, respond to what Rakesh Sinha is saying. But also, if I can ask you to comment, we take the point about Sanskrit being a classical language and, you know, whether you're learning Latin or Sanskrit, there's value in learning it. No one is disputing that. The question is, if the education policy is going to focus on employment as a target, on employability as a target, we'll have students like we had in Bihar who've topped political science but think it was home science. Really, they may have learned Sanskrit. What is the value in terms of employability of learning a classical language today? Come in on that and respond to what he's talking about campus politics.
Mr. Rakesh Sinha seems to have more interest in my biography than it deserves. But let me just tell him that when I was a member of the UGC, one of the things I had introduced was actually Charter of Rights of the Student, which included their right to do politics. That is something I was involved in. The document is still there. Anyway, on to more serious things. On the Sanskrit issue, I think we have had completely false debate in this country, and that's why I think the committee has evaded those issues, and it's a very sensible thing. Of course, Sanskrit should be taught in this country. If it's not taught in India, where would you teach Sanskrit? And of course, the quality of Sanskrit teaching must improve.
Yeah.
And of course, Sanskrit cannot be a replacement for teaching your Hindi or Bengali or Tamil. I mean, you know, functional languages and classical languages both have their own place. They should be taught in a sensible way. This is how a country can go forward. So I think I find this entire debate so utterly useless and ill-informed. You don't have debates of this kind in other countries, whether you should teach Latin or English. Of course, you do both for certain level, for certain kinds of people. So I think these are somewhat pointless debates.
On that note, let me also bring in...
The reason I welcome this committee is that it has steered clear of some of these useless debates, and some of these lunacies spread in the last 2 years. They have stepped out of that, and that is what needs to be welcomed.
Nonetheless, Yogendra Yadav, one of the policy suggestions along with restricting political activity on campus is also urgently revisiting the non-recognition of caste, religion-based student groups. And on that, we're being joined from Hyderabad by Prashant Donta, who was a friend of Rohit Vemula's. Prashant, you've been in the thick of caste-based campus politics, two of the serious issues that the new education policy wants to eliminate from the education space and bring the focus back on learning and teaching. Your response?
There's a difference between caste-based student organizations and anti-caste student organizations. For example, if someone comes and establishes a Brahmin student organization, while someone starts a Dalit student union, there is a difference between both these things. One is started by an underprivileged group, while one is started by a privileged group. Where without agitation, without protests, there is in none of the universities, the policies of affirmative action have been implemented. Be it having taken from Mandal Commission report to till this date, if I were to take my University of Hyderabad example, in 2006, if there was not a protest to implement OBC reservations to the fullest extent, I don't think this reservation would have been fulfilled. If there was no protest to fulfill all vacant seats of OBCs, perhaps the cutoff point for OBCs and all sections would not have been removed, which has made it sure that all seats were filled. Hence, student politics, student agitations for a democratic atmosphere are necessary. And perhaps somewhere now this nation is leading from the slogan of Sabka Saath, Sabka Vikas to RSS Ka Saath, Bharat Ka Barbaad.
Rakesh
this has
Sinha,
been the trend in which it is going on.
Rakesh Sinha, respond to what Yogendra Yadav pointed out. Prashant is saying. All right, no. Prashant, we've got your point. Rakesh Sinha, come in here.
There has been consensus in this country that there should be caste-based politics. Unfortunately, in politics, caste groups are dominating the politics on the basis of caste and communalism. We are against that. So why students should be allowed to polarize on the ground of caste? We are for inclusivity. And this committee has, I'm very happy that this committee has been addressing the question of inclusiveness. And the OBC, Scheduled Caste, Scheduled Tribe students, the base of education should be expanded.
Yeah.
The more opportunities and the empowerment of these marginalized sections should be done. This
okay.
can be done only through by increasing the budget. That should be 6%.
Okay.
And
yeah,
I
disagree
completely.
That's a critical point.
It has to be adopted. Then
introducing caste politics
implemented the
Sudhir Thorat
committee
politics.
Recommendations on,
they are, they are,
on implementation
they are the
of SEST subplan in
yeah.
within universities.
They are, they
that,
are the,
that point is not taken up. There is no
Naxal and caste activities can't be permitted in the campus.
Certainly, talking about caste does not mean one is casteist. If
you
Ambedkar would not have talked about caste,
fair
perhaps
point.
The
All right. Prashant Gonta and Rakesh Sinha. Prashant Gonta and Rakesh Sinha. I'm going to interrupt both of you gentlemen there.
In this present era also.
Fair point.
Someone has to talk about Ambedkar. Someone has to talk about caste.
Yeah, talking about caste is not the same as
caste
politics. Prashant, we got your point. Yogendra Yadav, Rakesh Sinha. I want to come back. We really have like a minute left. Final comments from all of you. This debate will again become a tutu meme really on education. Right now, we need to focus. Rakesh Sinha is also making the point. TSR Subramania made the point that our budget needs to go up to 6-7% of the GDP for education. Here, we are looking at a policy which broadly, barring one or two things that you're all disagreeing on, everyone seems to think is a sensible policy draft, a sensible plan of action. Nonetheless, 30 seconds, Yogendra Yadav, do you think it will get stuck in politics?
As Mr. Subramaniam himself said, most of these policies have never been implemented in the past, and I don't expect very much different this time. The committee says 6% of the GDP should be given to education, and I can bet with you right now that this is not going to take place.
Okay.
We need much greater awareness, and I really wish this committee had paid more attention on the question of equality, equal opportunities, and profiteering in the name of private universities and education, which is
taking
place. That's
a whole different debate.
That would have
given
us much better teals.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, all right. 30 seconds. Rakesh Sinha.
Now, the best part of this committee's report is Standing Education Commission. This is on the pattern of Commission for Future in various countries like Finland, Korea,
yeah.
and even China has emulated. Unless until you have planning for 20 years, 30 years ahead, the change in technology, change the demand of economic demands of the country.
Yeah.
So I think that the committee has added two things. One is economic value to education. Second is moral value to the education. Both
okay.
are imperative, and I think committee has recommended both the things.
Right. All right. Rakesh Sinha, Yogendra Yadav, Prashant Gonta. We'll have to leave it at that. The question is that many agree that there are issues that this policy draft has raised that we all need to address. Some proposals that are workable. The question is, will there be the will? Lots of various smaller debates that we can, separate debates rather, we can take on this. Private education being one of them. Corruption in education being another, but we'll save that for another day. That's all tonight on The Buck Stops here. Thank you all for watching.